Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
You've seen this, right? The tree on fire in front of Fox. Heartbreaking. This is anti-Christian. This is anti-Christmas. This is a hate crime. But at least they think they got the guy responsible. The alleged guy is in police custody until he was out of police custody. Here he is being released. He's walking out and absolutely no bail, no cash. He didn't have to post anything. He's walking around a free man right now. Here are the charges against him. Nothing. Okay, six misdemeanor charges. No felony charge. Even though allegedly he destroyed $500,000 worth of stuff, he was granted supervised release without bail. This is America, huh? Post George Floyd. Do anything to stop mass incarceration. So Mr. Tamanaha was interviewed just after his get out of jail little walk.
Where are you going to go now, sir?
I'm going home.
You got a cigarette?
I don't smoke.
Anybody got a cigarette?
Think about the tree, sir. Why let it?
I didn't do it.
And he walks off alone. By the way, part of that supervised bail, huh? No fire, no cigarettes, no matches. I think that's very, very reasonable. This is a sign of everything going wrong in America, especially I think New York City is ground zero. Here's this. When you see people coming into our country, you see, well, this is bad. This shouldn't be. It's not fair to the people who live here. It's not fair to these people. It's very dangerous. Disease. they could drown. They should come in legally and safely. Well, we knew it. A lot of Democrats see not illegal intrusion. They see potential voters. Take a look at this. It's actually happening. Non-citizens voting in New York City. New York City is poised to give voting rights to non-citizens. It's happening as we speak. They're ratifying it downtown. Take a look. Here are the details. It will allow some 800,000 non-citizens eligibility to vote. It will take effect January 1st. Now, they will only at first be allowed to vote in local races like New York City mayor. Hey, that is a big, big job. It's actually happening. So they're letting criminals go free. They are saying foreigners can vote. This is what happens when you start to destroy American democracy. And here's a sign of it. The Thomas Jefferson statue. You heard about this, too. Thomas Jefferson statue in City Hall. They said they would take it out, and they are taking it out. It's actually already gone. So where this chamber, where he used to preside, figuratively, this is the same chamber where they just allowed foreigners to vote in American elections. It's insane. It's happening. Donald Trump warned us. He really did.
This week, it's Robert E. Lee. I noticed that Stonewall Jackson's coming down. I wonder, is it George Washington next week? And is it Thomas Jefferson the week after? You know, you really do have to ask yourself, where does it stop? George Washington was a slave owner. Was George Washington a slave owner? So will George Washington now lose his status? Are we going to take down statues to George Washington? How about Thomas Jefferson? What do you think of Thomas Jefferson? You like him? Okay, good. Are we going to take down the statue? Because he was a major slave owner. Now, are we going to take down his statue?
And he's gone. And a lot of what he stood for is gone. Law and order is gone. And insanity is prevailing. Now, here's something insane and disturbing and harmful. And it breaks my heart. These kids in Portland, public school children being forced to socially distance during lunch in the rain, 40-degree weather. You see those little orange things? They are barrels that the kids are forced to sit on. And you can see it is a crummy, rainy day, and the kids are outside. Is this America? Well, this is also America. Nancy Pelosi dining with her friends, maskless, as the kids are forced under a bridge, socially distanced. I mean, this is not America. The thing is, I don't know if an election can fix this. I don't know if an election can fix, I mean, it can help. Can an election fix this? A burning tree? Anti-Christian hate? The guy who did it allegedly is already out on the streets. Can an election fix that? It can help. But here is a solution that I think could go a bit further. We had Eric Metaxas on the show earlier this week. And whatever your religion, if you are Christian, Judeo-Christian values are so important to this country. But he said something that has stuck with me ever since.
If they really celebrated Christmas, if they really, really believe the insane idea that God sent his son to this world, et cetera, et cetera. So if they really believed that and lived it out, it would be no contest. People who say they're Christians, what they really mean is, I'm not a Jew, I'm not an atheist, I'm not a Muslim, I guess I'm a Christian. They really act in a secular way. And so it's up to us who claim to believe this to decide, do I really believe this? Did it really happen? If it did happen, if this is true, if this story is more than a fairy tale, it is the most amazing story in the history of the world. Some people have called it the greatest story ever told. If people who call themselves Christians, I'm not talking about Gentiles, I'm talking about Christians, actually believed this and lived it out as though it were true, because it is, it would be a totally different ballgame. It's easy for us to attack the left. The left doesn't really have to do anything except, you know, it's kind of like Lucy with the football. You know, you don't have to kick the football. You can't blame Lucy.
I like this. I like this a lot. And, you know, he mentioned Charlie Brown there. Lucy, Charlie Brown. Jack Posobiec, very active on social media, brought this up. When Charlie Brown, the Christmas issue, Christmas episode, was first shown to network executives, they were a little bit afraid about this message. But Charles Schulz, the creator, insisted on it, and it made it. But too often we forget.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Well, thank you, Linus. Thank you, Charles Schulz. And thank you, God. Coming up, we'll meet the new prosecutor, the new U.S. attorney in Massachusetts. She is a piece of work. Be right back.
Big news from the app world. The Newsmax TV app has been downloaded more than 5 million times since Election Day. It's one of the most popular apps on both iPhones and Android devices. Plus, it's free. So go to your app store now and you'll get easy access to Newsmax.com for top news. Plus, you can watch Newsmax TV anytime, anywhere. And remember to sign up for app notifications so you never miss a breaking news alert from Newsmax.
Download the free app now. Takes just seconds. Newsmax TV. Watch us anytime, anywhere.
All I can say is that the fake news just doesn't get it, do they?
Except this time. Except this time. A news reporter slash producer in Boston did a great job finding out and telling us about the new U.S. attorney up there in Massachusetts. Now, she is a piece of work. Her name is Rachel Rollins, and she was nominated by the Biden administration to be the top prosecutor in Boston, a federal prosecutor. And because she's black, it's history.
With a historic tie-breaking vote by the vice president, Rachel Rollins cleared the final hurdle and will become the first black female U.S. attorney in Massachusetts.
Rollins making history, becoming the first black woman to head the federal office.
With the vice president's tie-breaking vote, Rachel Rollins made history today as the first black woman to become the top federal prosecutor in Massachusetts.
All right, congratulations, I guess, but I am surprised she ever got this far. Because back when she was a local prosecutor, she kind of revealed herself to be a bit of a head case. I mean, totally out of control. So she gets into an argument with somebody in a parking lot. It becomes a minor news story, and a news crew shows up where she lives. That happens when you're a public servant, okay? It happens all the time. We'll get to that later. But when it happened to her, whoa, watch out.
Can we speak to you for 1 second, Ms. Rollins?
You're in front of my house with my children?
We literally just pulled up here.
Yeah, but how do you know where I live?
Oh, it's public record, ma'am.
Right, okay. That's unbelievable.
We're not stopping.
That's unbelievable. Actually, here I really think that she thinks it's unbelievable that they found her address. I mean, remember the good old phone book? We can find out where people live. There is such a thing as public record. Public servants are not in some special category when it comes to this stuff. It gets worse.
We're not stalking you at all.
My kids are inside.
Oh, we never even knocked the door. We were just parking here trying to figure out where we were going, and someone said we saw you here. So.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
Just happened to see you here.
Yeah.
We did.
I'm going to please make sure that you're in front of my house with my children inside. And you're going to put this on
here. Oh,
this
is your house.
Yeah,
sorry.
So as a black woman in this moment, in this country, you're going to put my house on the screen?
No, ma'am. We're just here approaching you to ask you a question.
Get away from my family. Speak to me at my job. If I get hurt or harmed because of this, you are on the record for that. Or my kids are killed.
Listen.
Who do you think you are?
Just perfect for the Biden administration, right? They saw this and they said, sign her up for the Justice Department. And what about that race card? Here, I think she starts to almost break the law.
This is private property.
Okay,
get out of here.
Get out.
And you know what I'll do? I'll call the police on you and make an allegation.
Okay.
And we'll see how that works with you.
What are you going to allege? What would she allege? She's going to make an allegation, see how it works for you. You see how some of these Democrats roll? They love power. Ooh, do they love power? Doesn't work that way, though. You can't do that, especially when it's on tape.
So the rantings of a white woman get you here and scare my children?
No.
Get off of our private property.
We're here.
And I swear to God, I'm dead serious. I will find your name.
You
can ask me somewhere else.
I can give
you my name. Do not have a camera in front of my house.
I can give you my name.
Get her. Get them out of here. This is the Boston police. I will have you arrested. I swear to God.
She has a problem, by the way. Did you notice she had a problem with the white woman and the black woman, both of them? By the way, the reporter happens to be black. I don't know what her deal is, but she has a deal. She certainly has a deal. Go.
Get them out of here. This is the Boston police. I will have you arrested. I swear to God.
Okay.
My children are going to be hurt.
Yeah, by you. This comes with the territory when you're a public servant. Ask these people. Ask Senator Sinema. She can't go to the bathroom in peace. This happens. Senator Josh Hawley, they had a riot on his front lawn. It's not nice. Comparatively, this is no big deal. Now watch how she tweeted about this. Rachel Rollins took to Twitter. Ooh, boy. The media just videotaped my home and my children are terrified. Hey, did you see the kids? I didn't see the kids. I think they were 400 feet away and just fine. What else happened here? My children, like many of yours, are scared and worried about what they saw at our Capitol. Yeah, this was right after January 6th. Everyone is on edge, including myself, but my little girls are safe. Oh, and then she took it even further. Earlier today, a masked white man jumped out of a truck parked in front of my home, walked quickly to me while inaudibly speaking. He opened his trunk and grabbed something, took it out, and aimed it at me. I was terrified and turned away. My children were there. Enough with the kids, okay? You're going to get them into trouble. Stop lying about them either. They were just fine, and they were inside. Finally on this, when she actually became a district attorney, she even screwed up the swearing-in ceremony. Take a look.
I, Rachel Rollins,
do solemnly swear and affirm.
Do solemnly swear and affirm.
That I will faithfully and impartially discharge and perform.
That I will faithfully and impartially discharge and
perform all the duties incumbent on me as Suffolk District Attorney.
Justice, can we just make it smaller? I don't know. I'm sorry. I can't remember all that.
You got a big job here, so.
All right. The justice is annoyed. By the way, she's got her hand on the wrong hand on the Bible.
Okay, here we go. That I will faithfully and impartially discharge and perform.
That I will faithfully and impartially discharge and perform.
Here's what you can do. If you're ever in trouble, if she's ever prosecuting you, here's what you do. You just show the appeals court, you show your lawyer, you show somebody this, and I think everything will be forgiven.
Get them out of here. This is the Boston police. I will have you arrested. I swear to God.
Okay.
My children are going to be hurt.
All charges drop. Not really, but keep your eye on her. Rachel Rollins up there in Massachusetts. All right. Jussie Smollett was found guilty on all counts. Be right back.
This country was made by tax rebels, freedom fighters, gold seekers, believers, lovers, and true patriots. We're Newsmax, and we're their heirs, and so are you. Newsmax TV, real news for real people.
Hey, Jussie Smollett, guilty on virtually all counts, staging that fake hate crime. The jury saw right through it. He may have made matters worse for himself, according to the prosecutor, by lying to them throughout this trial. So obviously, Jussie Smollett, the former actor on Empire, staged a hate crime so he would get a greater paycheck from Fox. That was part of his motivation. I want to bring in Jonathan Gilliam, former FBI agent, former Navy SEAL, author of Sheep No More, and Jim Hansen, president of Security Studies Group and a former Army Special Forces Weapons Officer. Gentlemen, welcome. What do we think? I'm not surprised, but you know what? I got a little bit nervous there. Jonathan, first to you.
I think this is the perfect contrast to the Kyle Rittenhouse case. I mean, everything about it, you know, we talk about how Kyle Rittenhouse performed on the stand versus Jussie Smollett. When we look at the jury and how the jury was laid out is this was an incredibly diverse jury. And then when we look at the nature of the case, which in Kyle Rittenhouse, you're able to look at the facts and the actions of someone that was displayed on video. And then actually video comes back to haunt Jussie Smollett in this case. I think it's incredible. It shows the comparison, the contrasting of these two cases, and it shows you real guilt versus why we are able to find people not guilty. And I think that people need to take a step back and look at the reality of this nation and how far down some people will go. They will wake up and think about doing bad things, and that's Jesse Smollett.
Before we go to you, Jim, I want to play several liberals leaping to Jesse's defense when the alleged hate crime was first reported.
Danny, this is a horrible story, no matter what kind of attack or crime it was. But what do prosecutors need to prove to categorize this as a hate crime?
Support for Smollett exploding online from Hollywood A-listers to political heavyweights. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi tweeting the racist, homophobic attack on Jesse Smollett is an affront to our humanity. No one should be attacked for who they are or whom they love. Democratic presidential candidate and Senator Kamala Harris also weighing in, calling Smollett one of the kindest, most gentle human beings I know, and calling the attack an attempted modern-day lynching.
Wow. Did they fall for it? I didn't know. I knew there was some support, but man, they, you know, as far as faking something, he initially did a pretty good job, at least for 4 hours. And then anyway, Jim, what do you think?
Well, the whole thing was bound to fall apart because it was just comical to pretend that anyone was running around in the middle of the night in Chicago, which is Obama country and leftist country, and claiming it's MAGA country. You know, I know it would have been fun to have Dave Chappelle on here, who definitely didn't get pulled in, because he would have told us, Juicy Smollett guilty. And that's what we deserve, you know? I mean, this whole thing was a farce from the beginning. And watching all these liberals just jump into it because they were projecting their own feelings onto it and wanting to believe that that's actually how conservatives and Trump supporters and MAGA country people act. It's not. And now, at least he's guilty. I don't know what kind of sentence he's going to get, but the trouble he gave this country with this outright disgraceful, shameful lie damaged race relations even more at a time we didn't need it. So good on the Chicago jury for calling it what it was.
Good on them. I mean, ultimately, I mean, the prosecutor initially decided not to file charges, right? I mean, this is 3 years ago. Just about January of 2019. And of course, this, you know, that's right where Trump hatred and Trump derangement syndrome was probably at its apex, Jonathan, right there. But 3 years later, justice for Jesse.
Yeah, justice for Chicago, for somebody who wasted police resources and actually was trying to get, you know, to get people in trouble and to put out this false narrative. I think another thing about this is it's striking that the court of public opinion that is swayed by the echo chamber of the leftist media has gotten it wrong many, many times. And again, Kyle Rittenhouse versus this, it's two examples of where the same people that you just played those sound bites making up things like lynching of this individual are the same people who were calling Kyle Rittenhouse a white supremacist. So you definitely can see how they play on people's emotions just simply for their ideological move forward.
Now, we know Jesse is guilty. We know he was lying about all this. We also know he's an actor. So now, with all that, we're going to look at him just a few days after, you know, telling everybody what happened. And I just want to focus on what kind of actor he is. Was this at all convincing? All right, let's try to be neutral here.
I was talking to a friend, and I said, I just want them to find them. And she said, sweetie, they're not going to find them. And that just made me so angry because so I'm just going to be left here with this.
All right. I'm going to say weak acting because, look, we've all cried. I've never used a tissue when I cry. You know what I mean? It was 20 years ago when my favorite football team won. Tears of joy. But you don't use a tissue. And the sweetie, calling him a sweetie, that was a little bit overdone, too. Jim?
Well, I got to tell you, I'm pretty torn up about this whole thing because I mean, Jesse was just trying to make things right. He just wanted to make it good for everybody.
All right,
what
sweetie.
A garbage hey. Actor. No.
Does he get any points with you, Jonathan?
No, but he's probably going to get a sentence. And that's, I think that's the ultimate Academy Award. He's going to, you know, get some silver handcuffs that he rightfully deserves.
Yeah, this is, and let me just take a quick, these are, some of these are felonies, I believe, and this is, you know, this could be serious for him. Obviously, he won't be acting. Then again, who knows? I mean, Jonathan and Jim, this could, in a weird way, will it help him with the left? Will he be a victim all over again? Black Lives Matter was standing by him as recently as yesterday.
Maybe he remakes Jailhouse Rock. Can he sing?
Okay, you guys. You guys are fantastic. Yeah, it's five felony counts.
Nice.
And that could be significant jail time. Yeah.
Well, that's no joke.
Thank you, gentlemen. By the way, just very briefly, the January 6th committee still is, in my view, they're harassing former Trump administration officials. There are so many things that I want answered about January 6th, like why those cops walked away just before Ashley Babbitt was shot, why so many cops let people into the Capitol, let them into the Capitol. They're not pursuing any of that. Are we ever going to get those questions answered, Jim?
Probably not. I think not until there's a Republican administration. You know, we need control of Congress, and then we need an executive branch where someone can put a foot down on them. I also want to know how many Fed informants were there in those organizations, and how much were they the ones who were inciting violence? Because there's a couple of people who are definitely not charged and are on video as some of the biggest agitators in the crowd, both on that day and the night before. That's what I want to find out.
That is totally bizarre. Jonathan, please, final thoughts.
I just think that, you know, we need to stop waiting on the same people again that you played that soundbite a minute ago are the same people who are basically in charge of this January 6th nonsense. I would love to see the GOP actually do something effective for a change. I don't care if they have an official overwatch of this or their own official trial. Why don't they start, you know, doing their own thing outside of Congress, so that they can look at and bring up these facts themselves and give them to the American people? We want to see it.
Amen.
That's interesting. That's an interesting idea. Yeah. Hey, listen, I thought it was so funny. As we go to break, I want to play that clip again of all the liberals embracing Jussie Smollett's fake, phony lie of a story. Jonathan Gilliam, thank you. Jim Hansen, thank you. And we leave you with this.
Danny, this is a horrible story, no matter what kind of attack or crime it was. But what do prosecutors need to prove to categorize this as a hate crime?
Support for Smollett exploding online from Hollywood A-listers to political heavyweights. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi tweeting the racist, homophobic attack on Jussie Smollett is an affront to our humanity. No one should be attacked for who they are or whom they love. Democratic presidential candidate and Senator Kamala Harris also weighing in, calling Smollett one of the kindest, most gentle human beings I know, and calling the attack an attempted modern-day lynching.
Can we speak to you for 1 second, Ms. Rollins?
You're in front of my house with my children?
We literally just pulled up here.
Yeah, but how do you know where I live?
Oh, it's public record, ma'am.
Right, okay. That's unbelievable.
We're not stopping.
So that is the new U.S. attorney from Massachusetts. Her name is Rachel Rollins, and she thinks that public officials should not know, you should not know where they live. It's a fact of life. You can look it up in the phone book or online. She was just confirmed, and now she is now the U.S. attorney for Massachusetts. They are in for some problems, I think. I'd like to bring in former U.S. attorney Joe DeGenova for Washington, D.C. Joe, Rachel Rollins, first of all, what kind of reputation, if any, does she have in the legal community?
A bad one. She's known to be wild-eyed and not competent. Extremely into the Soros style of negative non-prosecution, very bad judgment, not even tempered, not having the temperament necessary for a job where you wield such vast power. In short, a bad choice, and therefore the one that the Biden administration made.
Yeah. Wow. This is, I mean, maybe it's good for those who are being prosecuted in Massachusetts because they'll have ample grounds for a defense. Here she is, I think, possibly committing a crime on TV. She's irate that a TV reporter showed up at her house because they were told about her acting up at a parking lot. That's a whole other issue. And listen to what she threatened to have done to this person.
get, this is private property,
okay, we're gonna
get out of here.
Absolutely get out.
And you know what I'll do? I'll call the police on you and make an allegation,
okay,
and we'll see how that works with you.
She's going to make an allegation to the police. Now, this is from January of this year. She's the Suffolk County DA at this moment. Joe, I mean, when you vet somebody, the FBI, this is a big job. They would see something like this. They would say, okay, whoa, we got a problem with this one. Did anybody raise an alarm, or maybe they were told not to?
Apparently, they were told not to. What you just saw was the kind of temperament that should never be allowed to have the vast power that a United States attorney has. The power to investigate that a United States attorney has and use grand juries and issue subpoenas and search warrants is the power to destroy people. What you just saw was an unhinged prosecutor. That person should not wield the vast power of the United States government. That is an embarrassing performance. It is someone who should never, ever be allowed to have the vast authority and power that a United States attorney has. That is so embarrassing to the Department of Justice. But again, this is Merrick Garland's Department of Justice. This is presumably what he wants. This is the type of United States attorney that he thinks should be prosecuting Americans. If you're in Boston, you better be very, very worried, because what you have in front of you right now is an unhinged prosecutor who is more than likely to bring political prosecutions not founded in evidence.
Yeah, it's incredible that this has happened. And here she is again, hiding behind her children. There's something very weird about this, how her keeps bringing her kids up, who are nowhere to be seen. They're 100 yards away. They're totally safe. Take a look.
Get them out of here. This is the Boston police. I will have you arrested. I swear to God.
Okay.
My children are going to be hurt.
Maybe by her. And she will. I will have you arrested. I swear to God. This is, and now she has more power. Here she was just a local prosecutor. Can you give us an idea, Joe, just how vast the power is? Federal versus local. Local is pretty powerful. Federal, there's so much latitude, so much authority.
Well, United States attorneys can subpoena anybody. They have the power to impanel grand juries. Again, as I told you, the power to investigate is the power to destroy. But what you just saw there, again, is a temperament that is completely inconsistent with the wielding of this vast power. This is scary. It's frightening. This person should never have been nominated. The confirmation today was a 50-50 vote that had to be broken by Kamala Harris, the vice president of the United States, had to break the tie. The kind of lack of confidence that that shows in her, I must say, if I'm in Massachusetts, I am very worried about federal law enforcement. This is dangerous. She is a dangerous person to wield that type of power. She does not have the temperament, the judgment to be able to wield the vast power that United States attorneys have. This is I've never seen anything like this in a year. And by the way, just look at the former U.S. Attorney Dan Webb, who tried the Jesse Smollett case. Honorable guy, tempered, even keeled. Look at her. She is unhinged. And then she uses her children. She brings in police. You know what you do if you're the United States attorney, where you're going, you know you're going to be? You say, ladies and gentlemen, I have to go into my house. Thank you very much. No comment. You get out of the way. You don't engage in fisticuffs with the media. That shows you how bad her judgment is.
Then she took to Twitter in the aftermath. And then I want to see if there's any possible thing the American people can do about this. But some of her tweets from right around that time, let's see here. The media just videotaped my home and my children are terrified. Now, that's a lie. That is a lie. What else do we have here? My children, like many of yours, are scared and worried about what they saw at our Capitol. Oh, she's blaming January 6th. Everyone is on edge, including myself, but my little girls and I are safe. Totally over the top. Oh, and then she makes what it looks like a false allegation against a masked white man. She really is pointing out, oh, she didn't like the reporter because she was black. She didn't like the woman she had the argument with in the parking lot because she was white. Joe, there are civil servant rules. I know she's a political appointee, but What can people do? What can the Justice Department do? Because there are career officials who are going to be really disturbed by having this person in their ranks.
The problem is she's just been confirmed. The problem is the president nominated her. The problem is they knew this when they nominated her. And if they didn't know this when they nominated her, shame on them. But what you, again, Greg, this is no one like this should ever get close to the incredible nuclear power that a United States attorney has to investigate, destroy people's lives, issue subpoenas, give search warrants, get bank records, force people to testify. This is amazing. This is a very serious job. This woman clearly is unhinged and clearly should not have the authority of a United States attorney.
All right. You know, one thing you mentioned, the key here is she was just confirmed. And I think she knows that as well, because I'm looking on her Twitter bio. And guess what it says? The first in all caps, Senate confirmed. I think she thinks that makes her untouchable. And maybe for a little while it does. But we'll see.
You know what, Greg? You know what you can do with a U.S. attorney? You can impeach them.
Has that ever been done?
Not to my knowledge, but there's nothing like the first time, as they say in show business.
Wow. All right. Hey, finally, listen, the January 6th stuff continues. It looks like they don't want real answers to any of the questions I have, like why those cops walked away just before Ashley Babbitt was shot, why so many cops appeared to let protesters into the Capitol, just stepped aside. One cop we even saw encouraging people to get in. These are questions I think need to be answered. The only thing we had were those cops who hated Trump up there. And now, you know, they're subpoenaing people like Mark Meadows. Just from your standpoint, where do we go from here? How's this all going to pan out?
The murder of Ashley Babbitt is completely unjustified. Officer Byrd, Lieutenant Byrd, should be removed from the force. He should never be allowed to hold a weapon again. His conduct on that day was absolutely outrageous. As soon as the Republicans take over the House in 2022, they should have a committee established to investigate what happened, her killing. They don't have to wait for a grand jury, even though the local U.S. attorney said they weren't going to prosecute the police officer. The Republicans, this will be a test of their mettle. They should have an investigative committee to investigate the killing of Ashley Babbitt. The entire January 6th thing should be investigated from the conduct of the police officers and the FBI, undercover agents, everything that we've seen, including the treatment of the defendants by the federal courts, their treatment in the D.C. jails. It's outrageous. And it needs to be. That will be the test of the Republicans.
Finally, Joe, I know you've been hassled from time to time by the powers that be in Washington, D.C. How are you faring? How are you holding up?
We're doing just fine. We're doing just fine. We are set in our virtues. We know exactly where we're going. Everything is great. And thank you for asking.
Joe DiGenova, a hero, former U.S. attorney for Washington, D.C. To be continued, sir. And we'll be right back.
Have you checked out the Newsmax Daily Podcast with me, Rob Carson? You get daily news, insightful commentary, and believe it or not, comedy. Check it out wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts or at newsmaxtv.com/podcast.
Do you want your house back? Take it!
Instead of hassling former Trump administration officials who weren't even there on January 6th, that committee should be talking to people like Victoria White, 39 years old, from Rochester, Minnesota. She was there that day. She tried to stop the violence. We have proof of it. Anyway, she ultimately is in big trouble. She was arrested. She's facing a slew of charges. But here she is trying to calm down a tense situation. She's saying, we don't do that, SH. We don't do that. She came up to the guy with the club. More. berating that guy for what he did. Now she's trying to pull that other guy away. So again, this is Victoria White, and she spoke to Julie Kelly at American Greatness, and she's telling her story, which entails being viciously beaten, she says, by at least two Metropolitan Police cops. The story goes like this. Looking for a way out of the dense crowd, she had lost sight of her friend at this point. White pushed her way toward the tunnel shortly after 4 o'clock and squeezed into the front opening. That's when she encountered a horror scene, goes on to say. Grown men were crying from being doused repeatedly with a noxious chemical gas inside the tight confines of the tunnel. People were being crushed. Cops clad in full riot gear had filled the tunnel with the gas, causing victims to vomit and pass out. We were trapped. Police were pushing us out using riot shields, and people outside were pushing in. I kept falling. A cop sprayed mace directly in my face. And she was in that tunnel. Horrible scene. She was arrested on January 6th. And she also has some interesting information about Roseanne Boyland. She believes that the full story of her death has not been told. Officially, it was ruled a drug overdose. Hardly anyone is buying that anymore. There's a Give, Send, Go page set up for her daughters, Victoria White. She is in financial dire straits. Roseanne Boyland, a woman, died on January 6th. She was given CPR by some of the Trump supporters there, who begged for help from the cops, and it did not seem like it was forthcoming at all. They were right there. They know first aid. They have equipment. They were begging, and nothing seemed to happen. Many questions about January 6th. Like, by the way, what did this person do, and who were the cops who beat them to a pulp, Rodney King style? Have you seen this? Probably haven't. Hasn't been in wide circulation because, well, it tells a story that the media are not comfortable with. But that looks like they're beating somebody up who's already on the ground and totally subdued. What's happening here? Why aren't our lawmakers asking these questions? I don't know. I don't know. I'll be right back. Stanchfield is next. Thank you. Thank you very much. See you tomorrow.